mind if you can get your Bibles out tonight in Luke chapter number 13. So nice to have warm weather for a few moments. I don't know what happens after this, but it was nice today.
Luke chapter number 13, we'll start in verse 10. It says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Amen. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him, and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for this passage, and thank you for the reminder just who you are and what you can do in our life. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see again ourselves in this passage. Lord, that you would work a miracle amongst us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to kind of dissect this story here a little bit. In Luke, I think it's Luke chapter number 8, there's a woman with an issue of blood 13 years. Different story, all right? Just so we're clear here. That's a different thing, all right? So this woman here, it says that it starts off in verse 10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. This was, hold your hand in Luke chapter number 13. We're going to go to other places, but always frequently come back to Luke chapter 13. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew 4 and verse 23. This is what Christ would do. He would teach there. And Jesus went about all, in Matthew 4, 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues. Now, there is one temple, but many synagogues. Synagogues are like little mini temples, if you will, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He would go there and he would meet with people in those scenarios, in those situations, and meet their need. But he would meet them at the synagogue. Go with me to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." We know which kingdom. Thank you, Mr. Parrott. The kingdom of God. And healing every sickness. Oh, wait, no, kingdom of heaven. This is Matthew, sorry. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That's what he did. Hey, can we just look at this just for a second before we move on to the actual story? Christ would show up in a place on a regular basis and teach and preach. I know he would, here it does it, he does it in Luke chapter number 13, he does it on the Sabbath day, but there's a day that we designate to come in together, not in the synagogue, but we come into the church house to listen to the teaching and preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. A similar type of thing. Hey, when the church house is open, I remember years and years ago, I met with Mike Metzger. How many of you know Mike Metzger? All right, good. Yeah, Pastor Metzger, and I'm sitting in his office, and I desired to be involved in the ministry a little bit, and I said, what could I do? He said, well, I'm teaching an Old Testament survey class or New Testament survey class. I don't remember which one it was. He said, you can take that. He goes, but what would really just help you is every time the church doors are open, just find yourself in it. Every time the church doors are open, just get yourself to church. It's amazing what God can accomplish under the teaching and preaching of His Word. A lot of people come for counseling and need help, and I understand that. But some of the best counsel is just right through the message, right through just a consistency. I'm just going to give you a little insight. Pastor Francini's here, and he maybe can testify to this. I have no ability to change your circumstances, but we can certainly help you through the Word of God, change your perspective, and get God involved in the thing. And as we commit to being under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, kind of like how Christ showed up that day, hey, you're just at the right place at the right time. Again, holding your hand in Luke chapter 13, but look over there at Jeremiah. Jeremiah doesn't always have the best of things to say about pastors, may I say. But in Jeremiah chapter 3, here's a good one. In verse 15, Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Hey, there's a benefit of coming around the preached Word of God. Why? God could give you some knowledge about your circumstance. It's amazing how many times people have come to me and said, man, that message tonight, I was going through that exact, I had no idea of that. We just opened up the Scriptures, and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God minister to your heart. It's tough to get that when you're not here, when you're not in church. Now, again, I'm thankful for online abilities, and God is able to minister, but there was something special about getting together there. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. We'll look at two more thoughts here and move on to the next thought. Proverbs chapter number 11. In verse 14, the Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, the Bible says there is safety. There's safety. Safety in getting that teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Go with me to Colossians chapter number 1. There was teaching in the synagogue that day. You know, if, I don't know, I don't know what name I could drop or whatever, but if I said, hey, this next Sunday, Brother Tony Shirley's going to be in church here, I really recommend you coming to hear. Man, people, all of a sudden, church people are going to, we're going to see people we maybe haven't seen in a while. Why? Because Brother Shirley showed up. How about the Lord Jesus Christ showing up? Ought not that to be the regular, right? I mean, doesn't He minister to our hearts? Is not the Word of God taught and preached and I love Brother Shirley. He's a good friend, and I'm just saying that we got the youth rally coming up, and you got that going on. And Colossians chapter number 1, in verse 27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible says this in verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He says this, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Hey, I understand Lord Jesus Christ was perfect in every way, and He never preached a bad sermon or never taught an off lesson or never made a mistake or misunderstood the Scriptures and never was asked a question that didn't know how to handle that. I understand He was perfect in all ways. But our endeavor here as we open up the Word of God is to preach Jesus Christ, warning every man of the dangers of forsaking the Scriptures and teaching every man in all wisdom. Hey, it's just a good thing to, when the teaching and preaching of the Word of God happens, that you're there. And He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, the Bible says in Luke chapter 13. Imagine, could you imagine? Jesus is in town. You want to talk about revival meeting? Unbelievable. And that's just what happens here. Let's look at verse 11. Luke chapter 13 and verse 11. As we progress through our story here. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. That's a long time. Sam, that would be like all your life. Because you're 18, right? Okay. Victor just turned 18. Today. He's 18 today. Little Vic, not Big Vic. All right? Little Vic is 18 today. Imagine. Which had a spirit of infirmity. Look what it did to her. It was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. There she is. She's almost crippled by this thing. The Bible says she was bowed together. I just think of, I don't know the exact scenario here, but it sounds like she was just withered up. Couldn't even move. Couldn't get herself up. This thing just had a complete hold on her life. Incapacitated her. The Bible says this, and could in no wise lift up herself. Hey, you let the world have its way with you, it's going to mess you up. It's going to leave you incapacitated. It's going to leave you for death. You're going to find yourself in the fetal position, unable to move. Maybe spiritually speaking. It just is going to hurt you. That's exactly what happened to this lady. Look at, holding your hand in Luke chapter 13. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 6. Oh, I can handle sin. That's not what the Scripture says. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. I understand she had a physical ailment, but so often those physical ailments are indicative of our spiritual condition with the Lord. Taken by sin. How many of you would testify, hey, that's exactly what sin did to me. It just messed up my life. Everything I wanted to do, even in no wise could I raise myself up. It wasn't until Jesus came by. So can you imagine the picture? Romans chapter 6 again. Let not sin. Why is Christ so adamant? Why is the Lord so adamant about sin being out of your body? Because it never leaves you better than it found you. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. He says, do not begin down that road. Why? Because one moment, one day, you're going to find yourself bowed together and you're saying, hey, I want out of this now, and you can't lift yourself out. You think you got a handle on sin? Oh, it's much more powerful than you think. Luke chapter 13. Jesus in the synagogue teaching. I don't know how this woman got there. Don't tell us. This is the only time it tells us the story. I don't know how she got there. I don't know if she has family. I don't know what her job used to be. All we do is have a description of her. Couldn't lift herself up. Completely taken out of any benefit to society or herself. I was so taken by verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, remember on Sunday we were talking about that and how the Samaritan had compassion on the one that was left for dead, and we saw how Lord Jesus Christ was like that. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? He sees the multitude and what? He had compassion on them. There he is teaching. He's talking and he's looking this way and that way, and there's this one that's bowed up together, can't raise herself up, probably in torments, off to the side, and he sees her. And look at what he says to her, right? It says, and could in no wise lift up herself. And Jesus saw her and called to her and said unto her, woman, he called unto her. He says, hey, you, woman. If there's one thing she couldn't do was come to him. But he calls to her. He says, come here. And said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He loosed her. What do we see? The compassionate eye of the Lord. Do you understand that in the midst of our, this woman's darkest moment, in the midst of our darkest moment, Christ still comes over to us? She couldn't come to him. You know what he did? He went to her. Man, Is that not what the Lord did to us? He just showed up at my place. Where she could not lift herself up, Christ could. Again, hold your hand in Luke 13, but go to Psalm chapter number 3. Psalm chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. Hey, this woman's been 18 years with this situation. Physically has just destroyed her. Where is she? She's in the synagogue. Don't you think the high priest says, I don't know what else to do? Many are they that say there is no help for him in God. Hey, you understand, man may say this person's a lost cause, but God never says that. Verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, look at now, and the lifter up of mine head. She couldn't lift herself up in no wise. He calls over to her. He says, woman, you right here. And he goes over, and then what does he do? With compassion in the eye, goes down and touches her. Unbelievable. And the Bible says this. When the healing hand came, the Bible says in verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Immediately. We see this infirmity have a complete hold on her life. But then we saw the compassionate eye of Christ and his caring hand, which brought him out an immediate change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Hey, if you ever came to Christ, something immediately changes on the inside. Immediately. It is our life, certainly, of holiness and righteousness is a process, but something changes instantaneous. Where we were bound by our sin, incapacitated, we are now set free from that thing. That's a blessing. What do we see? The healing hand of Christ, an immediate change. And what does she do? She says, what great things I have done. No. She glorifies God. Hey, when the Lord changes your life, you know what we should do? Glorify God. Luke chapter 13, verse 14 says this. Let's follow the story. We're almost done. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, hear Christ teaching in the synagogue, maybe by request even. I was trying to think, why would the high priest, or why would the priest allow Christ to come into the synagogue to teach? Here's what I thought. Because that's what he does. He goes from synagogue to synagogue to synagogue. Because you know what Christ brought? People. And you know what people bring? Offerings. Money. So why would Christ be invited to teach and preach at the synagogue? He's preaching contrary. It would be like the Jehovah's Witness place down the road saying, can you come fill a Sunday for us? Oh, yeah. I'll fill a Sunday, all right. But there he is. And the ruler of the synagogue gets upset. Why? Because Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. I love the Lord's response as this criticism and condemnation of what Christ was doing, what they could not, 18 years. There she was over in the corner, bowed together. And they just get so critical. Hey, you know when the Lord is working in someone's life, you know what we got to do? Be careful that, well, that's not how he worked in my life. Therefore, what he's doing in your life is wrong. Oh, be careful. Be careful. When he's working in someone's life and doing amazing, miraculous things. Now, just as long as it's not contrary, right? I like what he brings up here. I wonder why he says In verse 15, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall? Here's what I think. It's kind of like the handwriting in the ground. He knew them. See, here's what the Lord has that you and I do not have. It's called omniscience. He knows everything. And the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And he saw these on the Sabbath day, letting their ox and their animals out when they shouldn't have, and got them water. There is often a criticism around the Lord's work, unfortunately. May that not come from us. Go to James chapter number 1. We're just going to look at a few verses in James, and then we're going to look at one more verse in Psalms, and then we'll be done. James chapter number 1, Hebrews, James. James chapter number 1. Let's just allow this to help us with our criticism of what God is doing in someone else's life, okay? So that's our point here. Christ was teaching in the synagogue. There was a woman who had just this infirmity, a spirit of infirmity, just complete hold of her life. Christ, with his compassionate eye and his caring, tender hand, changes her immediately. And what is produced is criticism and condemnation. James chapter number 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Hey, be careful before you speak up. Think about what you're about to say. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The Bible says that they were with indignation. They were angry. Look at chapter 2 and verse 13. Do you ever get angry that the Lord blesses somebody else? I hope not. James chapter number 2, verse 12. So speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What should have happened? There ought to have been much rejoicing. Hey, for this woman to be there in that place and have this for 18 years, everybody knew her. And then all of a sudden she stands up and glorifies God. There is an immediate, obvious miracle that happened. Yeah, but it was on the Sabbath. Just stop. God's doing work there. James chapter 4 and verse 11. Speak not evil of another, brethren. He's not talking to the world, he's talking to us. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth the brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. I hate when the Lord asks questions. Who art thou that judgest another? You're not the Lord. We're not God. Even in the... How about we just get behind what God is doing? Let God work. Be careful if you try and fit God into... And sometimes he works outside of those things. Say, prove that. How about this story? Luke chapter 13. I wonder, and this is where I think, if I was in the synagogue that day, what would have been my response? If I was in the synagogue that day, and I just saw this whole thing, would I have been on the indignation side? Or rejoicing over the glorious things that were done by him? And I just want you to evaluate in your own heart and mind. When the Lord is working around you, Where do you fall? Certainly the story is about the woman. What a miracle that was. And how God is able to set us free from our sin and change us immediately. But the second half of that story, I feel like maybe applies to you and I a little bit in that. Are we with indignation? Or as verse 17 says in Luke chapter 13, when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Hey, when the Lord is working, can we just say, God, you're working and I want to glorify you in that? Let's be careful that we not allow indignation and anger to take root in our heart. Let's be careful that we not be critical and condemn what God is doing. That happens a lot with our young people. Say, well, yeah, those young people are critical. No, what I'm saying is our young people sometimes make decisions and we as adults that have been down the road a little bit get a little critical. Let's be careful that we not, well, that's not how my walk of faith went. Yeah, but last time I checked, God works with us as individuals. And let's be careful. Let's be careful to allow. Let's be careful that we not be critical and condemn when God is working. Not that we turn a blind eye towards sin. That's not what this passage is. No, God's all about holiness and righteousness. Let's make sure we rejoice and glorify God when we see him work. One last verse, Psalm 143 and verse 12. Psalm 143 and verse 12, it says this. Psalm 143 and verse 12, there was all the people there that had that indignation in their heart were ashamed. The Bible says in Psalm 143 and verse 12, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. You know, one day the Lord is going to silence all the critics. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And all those that will be ashamed. And he's going to make right all the wrongs. Isn't that a blessing? We don't have to. Hey, God works in amazing ways. And how he works in your life might be a little different than how he works in the guy or the lady sitting next to you. Let's be careful that we not be critical of that and encourage them and glorify what God is doing in that. Let's all stand. Beautiful night to go out for ice cream. Is any place open? Probably not even open. Vic's? Village Ice Cream Shop. It's an acronym, VICS. See that? That's good. All right. I think we have ice cream at home. Maybe we'll just do that. Or probably just send the kids to bed and then eat ice cream. Is that? Does anybody else do that?
Sure.
Okay. You do that, Mrs. Buck? Okay. I don't.
Anybody else send the kids to bed and then eat all the good food? All right. Thank you, Mr.
Brother. Brother Dickinson, we're going to get real here in a minute, so we need you to cut the feed so the kids can't see it. All right, very good. All right. He's like, yeah, I can do that. All right, very good. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you were here tonight. Hope that passage just was a help to you. And again, maybe where we read that story and go, oh, yeah, this is the woman with the issue of blood. No, it's a different story and a little bit different. But certainly some things that we can take and apply to 2022. Amazing how God can do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word, how powerful it is. God, thank you. God, thank you that when I was in my worst state, you came over to me, put your forgiving hand upon me, showed me you, and allowed me to make a choice. Lord, I am so glad I called upon you to save me from my sin. Lord, thank you for the immediate change. God, help us to be an encouragement to those that God, you're working in around us, and Lord, help us to glorify you in all that you've done. Lord, we sure do love you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.